Welcome to this presentation from the Downey Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are located in the greater Los Angeles area at 9820 Lakewood Boulevard in Downey, California. We would love to have you worship with us any Saturday you are in our area.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're nice and warm. Isn't it great to be inside and not outside? And yet it's comforting to know that I could be here with my church family. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather together as we continue our series on better choices. Lead and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're joining us for the first time, we have been going through a series called Better. Our first week, we talked about better priorities. What are the things that you hold most dear, and what are you working towards? Last week, Bill talked about better relationships and how we should be intentional, choosing our relationships and how we invest in our relationships with others, just like Jesus did. Today, we're going to be focusing on better choices. Now, let's do a little exercise. Let's try to get to know each other a little bit better today. How many of you love a really good deal? How many of you love to pay full price? Nobody. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you, if you have a family member or a dear friend or are opening a shop, a store of some sort, how many of you expect, don't answer this, to get a discount? Okay, a couple of you are honest. How many of you would be willing and want to pay full price to see them succeed? Okay. All right, good. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not going to lie. I love a good deal. So much so that several months ago, I was at Vons late at night, where sometimes bad choices in purchasing food can happen. Take, for instance, I do not have Chipotle in here, something way better. I saw a deal, a 3-for-5 deal, where I could get Ding Dongs, Twinkies, and the almighty powdered donut. As I walked by, it was at the end, of course, you know, where they display right when you walk in, where you could not avoid it. In fact, it wrapped around. And in fact, there was another little section too where you could buy these bountiful delicacies. And I thought to myself, it's late, but I'm still hungry. No worries. 3-for-5, what a steal. So I purchased them. And as I was walking to the door, I was already salivating and thinking about eating this delicious powdered donut. When prudence took over, because it was late at night, if I have some sort of sugar at that time, I'm not going to sleep well. Okay, sounds fine. So I go home, put the donuts on the counter, actually the hutch, and somehow they got hidden and I forgot about them till a couple of weeks later, and I realized, oh, I still have these. But then I looked at the expiration date on the Ding Dongs. Oh, it expired a few days after I purchased. Oh, well, Twinkies. I'll get to them later in the powdered donuts. About another month goes by. And the Twinkies expired. Oh, no, heaven forbid. The Twinkies expired. But the Ding Dongs, I'm sorry, the powdered donuts, they expired January 15, 2024. Problem, however, after a couple of days, I decided, you know, the new year is almost upon us. I'm going to make healthy decisions. So I need to make sure that I eat the powdered donuts before New Year's, right? Can I hear an amen? I'm playing the game. Unfortunately, I forgot about them again. And I think this was the Lord telling me, you need to make better choices in your life. And by that point, even my wife was like, are you going to eat those powdered donuts? Hint, 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 hint. And I was already thinking about the story. I was going to put this story in video format, but then you know what? Maybe I'm grateful that I left it for this moment so you can share my brutal honesty of myself and my decision-making. suffice to say, I let them expire because I wanted to make better choices, which then made me cause to reflect and realize, have I been a good steward? I made a choice to buy this stuff. It's not good for me. For instance, have you ever read the ingredients on powdered donuts? I know you don't want me to, but I'm going to. Enriched, by the way, I'm now at the age where I have to flip my glasses up to be able to read. Enriched flour, wheat flour, malted barley flour. I can understand that. But niacin, ferrous sulfate or reduced iron, thiamine, mononitrate, riboflavin. What's that? Oh, they got turmeric in here. That's okay. Caria gum, cellulose gum, dextrin, soy lecithin. You don't need to be a nutritionist or a rocket scientist to understand that. It's probably filled with stuff we shouldn't eat, right? Sadly, but that's probably why it tastes so good. Better choices, better choices, better choices. Sadly, you probably are still thinking, am I going to eat them? No, I'm not. They have expired. At least I have that. Somebody actually once called these items sugar-coated lies, and it's so true because we lie to ourselves thinking, it's fine, I'm hungry, it's okay, it's just a couple of donuts, a couple of ding-dongs, Twinkies, what could hurt? The reality, though, is our decisions determine direction, and our direction determines destination. Where are we headed to? And what are the choices that we are making to get to that destination? I don't know who said that or wrote it, but I love it. Decisions determine direction, the way that you're going to go, and direction determines where you're going, where you want to arrive. And that could be for anything in your life in terms of career, health, obviously our salvation. Amen. Are the decisions, the priorities, and the people that I'm investing in, are they helping me to faithfully get to the destination of where I want to be at? Another question that we have to ask ourselves is, does Jesus or God, but especially Jesus, does Jesus influence my decision-making? Does Jesus influence my decision-making? Let's go to scripture. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. And if you were paying attention to our little video, we've already mentioned it, but it's good to go back. Proverbs 1, verse 7. Okay, we all there? All right, here we go. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of who? The Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And when you hear the word fear, what conjures up in your mind? Lord, don't smite me, right? But yet a better way of saying this is if you respect what God has to say, or if you want to honor your life, take the things that God has shown you, blessed you with, honor God with them, and make good decisions. Those who are fools will certainly not like wisdom. They want to do their own thing. Now, truth be told, as humans, can we be stubborn at times? It's factual. I will be the first to admit that sometimes I can be stubborn against even my own good choices or my desire to make good choices. Because it, for instance, it tastes so good. Nothing's gonna hurt. It's okay. True wisdom is fearing the Lord or respecting or honoring or living a life that truly exemplifies what Christ wants. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How did Jesus treat others? With love and respect. And is that not what God also wants us to do? To love God with everything, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to care for ourselves, to take care of ourselves? Now, I'm going to throw a blanket statement. Well, it's not a blanket statement. I'm going to say something that you're going to kind of be like, are you sure? And it's a little bit of an extreme example, but if you think about it, it is true. What do you think about the idea that rudeness can actually kill? Rudeness can actually kill. Dr. Samantha Boardman wrote, Can bad manners kill, in a blog? And she writes, when doctors speak rudely to their staff, both accuracy and performance what? Suffered. The medical teams exposed to bad behavior and nasty comments demonstrated poorer diagnostic and procedural performance than those who were not exposed to incivility. As lead researchers commented, relatively benign forms of incivility among medical staff members, just simple rudeness, have robust implications on medical team collaboration processes and thus on their performance as a team. Hence, rudeness and lack of kindness undermine people's ability to think clearly, to make good decisions. It steals confidence and weakens motivation. I have asked this question, and we all, for the most part, agree. You don't like working for somebody who can be rude, or not just, let's go beyond rude, arrogant, acting very poorly, bad leadership, being spiteful, doesn't follow through, right? And that affects how we view them. Are you going to want to work for somebody super hard if they mistreat you? At some point, you're basically just going to want to probably just do the minimum, right? Unless you're motivated by money, and then you'll work as hard and you'll put up with their nonsense. But it affects our relationship. And if I don't want to give you 100%, performance slips. And in the case of life and death matters, especially in a hospital, when routine exams, tests, and helping out, that could perhaps not end well in some cases. Again, this is an extreme example, but something that gives us moments for pause, okay? Now, you've probably heard of the term, one bad apple can ruin the whole barrel. You have a bad apple at the bottom that just smells and permeates and rots faster. It will help expedite the rotting process of the other apples in the barrel, right? Now, let's jump to James chapter 2, verse 10. James chapter 2, verse 10. Okay. James chapter 2, verse 10. We all there? Okay. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of what? Breaking it all. How many of you have had to justify, like, well, I only, it's not right, but it's better than murdering somebody? The truth is, you break something, you break it all. Because what are you ultimately saying is, I do not love my neighbor, period. I do not love and want to respect God, period. Okay? So, even one simple thing, one simple decision, one simple choice can have ramifications for the future. For instance, Dr. Ralph Sockman, he wrote about an experience where I believe he was at Niagara Falls, and on a very clear but cold March day, remember where Niagara Falls is, on the border of New York and Canada, in March, there were birds who were swooping down to try to get a drink of water. And the falls were at full capacity, maxing over, and it was a beautiful sight. But as some of the birds would swoop down to try to get a bit of water, the guy that Sockman was with noticed that tiny droplets of ice would form on their wings, little bits of water. And because it was so cold, you know where this is going, the water would freeze. And as the water froze, it became heavier and heavier until at some point they couldn't get above the waters that were falling. And even though they were flapping their wings, Sometimes the birds would simply fall over, going over the falls. Folks, the thing is, we may make decisions. It may seem small and minute, or it could be a decision, but it could affect our future. Something so small as, oh, it's just a glass. It's just one bottle, one can. It's just one picture, even though it's a little sensual. It's just a piece of food. It can't hurt me. It's just one word that I said. I didn't really mean it. Decisions and choices of how we say or treat others or do things can affect our future. One other thing that I want to go to is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. I love this passage. Let's just jump to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. If first time, maybe one of your first times reading the Bible, it's after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and Romans. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Chapter 6, verse 12. Okay. Well, there? All right. Paul writes to the people in Corinth, I have the right to do what? Anything you say. But not everything is what? It's not all beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You can do anything, but is it always good? Can you drive 110 miles on the freeway? Shh. Especially on a motorcycle, right? But is it beneficial to everybody? Absolutely not. You're risking people's livelihoods, not just your own, but other people. For context in this point, Paul is addressing the Corinthians were practicing sexual activities that are not good for you. And so he was trying to make a case of, look, you can do this, but there are long-term consequences to this. You can choose to do whatever you want, but there are consequences to your decisions and actions. And so therefore, we have to make good choices, good decisions. And sometimes, though, when we make decisions, when we make choices, sometimes there is an area where it's not clear between right and wrong. Sometimes there is a gray area, and it can be difficult to go through. Which path do I take? We don't always agree on everything. And sometimes, you know, that which should be avoided, that which is permitted. And then you have all these layers to add. Sometimes what might be appropriate to one group is completely heinous to another. Sometimes there are cultural barriers that it's not necessarily right or wrong. We just do things differently. We have different values. Now, how do we make good choices, good decisions? We have to have a plan. We have to know, what is it we are moving forward to, and the decisions that we make, is it helping us to get to that point? So make a plan. How many of you have ever heard of the OODA loop? Oh, for shame, you should all. I've already preached on this. So that just tells you I didn't do a good enough job of explaining. Anybody know what the OODA loop is? Observe, orient, decide, and act. Now, some of you are probably thinking, Pastor, that's just big words. Like, what are you talking about? Who wrote the OODA loop? The OODA loop was actually written by John Boyd, a famous fighter pilot many, many, many years ago, considered probably the best fighter pilot ever. Sometimes the engagements when he would go and fly and people were trying to get him would usually last no longer than 40 seconds. You have to act quickly, not just seconds just don't matter, microseconds where you're making decisions. And so as he's flying around, he's trying to obviously avoiding missiles and bullets. Fortunately enough, our decisions are not that, does not have that gravitas, but we still have to make decisions. And he wrote this loop that you can constantly repeat. When you make a decision, just observe. Look around, see what's happening. What are some of the problems and the issues that you're facing? What is it that you would like to change? If there's even a need to change, is it worth solving? Is it worth dealing? Is it something that is a big, is it going to be a big fight? Is now the time to address it? Just observe. And as you orient yourself, take a step back, because tunnel vision can sometimes, you know, if I only look down this aisle, I only see the aisle and I may see a few people on the sides, but I don't see everybody here. Have you ever been in tunnel vision at some point in your life where you're just so direct, you're thinking only of that one thing, and then when you stop and you step back, maybe you look up and down and you realize, no, wait, there's two other aisles on the side that I could go over. If I really wanted to, I could also go under the pews, but I'm not going to do that. There are other ways. Try to find different options. And so as you orient yourself, again, what are the options? What are the things that you have potentially maybe as you're making a decision? What are some of the resources if it's a big, big decision? Are there any risks to this decision that you're making? And is there a timeline? Is there a due date? Thirdly, you have to decide. How will you decide? How do you want to solve the problem? What is the plan? Where do you anticipate having to invest in time, of energy, and resources? And then finally, after you've done all of that, you have to act. You have to move on it. You cannot let it be static. You cannot just let it sit in one place. You have to make decisions. What are you, or who is responsible for what part of the plan? What if the goals or the outcome is not achieved that you think needs to be done? How are you going to reorganize? Or maybe at this point, maybe it's just something not worth deciding on. We all make important decisions in our life, and some of them can be big. It could be finding a new job, creating a relationship, starting a relationship, planning for college, the future, deciding on dinner. Now, have options. Guys, I'm going to help you out. Actually, not just guys, everybody. When you're trying to decide, for instance, what you want to have for dinner, Lisa and I have this discussion at least once, if not twice a week, usually Saturday nights, because that's our time together. And I have realized over the years, always plan ahead. Think ahead. Have options. For instance, what kind of dinner would you like to have? Would you like to have fine dining or takeout? Fast food. And it's usually takeout. I don't like takeout, but after COVID, I've learned to accept it. And then you ask, well, what kind of takeout? What kind of food? Do you want Italian? Do you want Mexican? Do you want Chinese? It's usually Mexican because that's our favorite. Do you want Chipotle? Taco Bell? It's really not Mexican food. Del Taco? No, real food. If I had the time and the energy, I would literally drive 45 minutes one way to Olivia's in Redlands. It's some of the best Mexican food you can ever have. Their salsa is the best in the world. Have options. And as you help try to choose, you'll see the different options. You'll decide, boom, boom, I like this, I want that. And then all of a sudden, we just end up usually going to Chipotle. But there are options. You've thought it out. You've tried to solve the problem together. Praise the Lord, okay? Now, there's always this meme, especially the one from The Notebook, where Ryan Gosling's character is asking, is it Rachel McAdams, what do you want? And it's usually in the context of a husband asking his wife what she wants to have for dinner. And yeah, it paints ladies in a bad light. But truth be told, guys, we're just as indecisive. So please don't play that card anymore, all right? Both of you, think ahead. Try to find different options. For instance, trying to find dinner. How are you going to buy a house? Planning for your children's education, all of these things are choices that you have to make that will affect your future. And more importantly, the decisions that you make, for instance, are the choices and decisions I'm making honoring God and helping me to grow? Do they honor God and are they helping me to grow? This week, practice the OODA loop. Observe, orient, decide, but most importantly, take action. Some movement is better than just standing still. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we all make decisions in our lives every day, choices, and we pray that the choices that we make, may they honor you. As we look to respect and follow your leading and guidance, Lord, may the fear of the Lord be on our hearts. Not a fear of being scared, but that of one of awe and respect. And God, I just pray that help us to be faithful disciples everywhere we go. May we honor you with the things that we do, but most importantly, help us to be the ambassadors of love and grace to this world. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Grace and peace.